then we've done our job. I don't care if we're 2 minutes in or 20 minutes in. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 is where we're going to start. A preview of tonight's sermon for those who will be across the street and those that might not be back here. The Bible says, the world hated me. Jesus said, the world hated me. I want you to think about that. Why would the world hate Jesus? Just think about that. Let that resonate. I always think, like if somebody ever asked me to come on CNN, they're not going to. But if they ever did, and they ask socially hot topics, and they would say, well, you know, those are outdated things in the Bible. And I said, well, if they're outdated, why would the world hate Jesus? Amen? And the Bible also says, if the world hated me, it'll hate you also. Why would it hate you? Because you're not going to agree with it. Amen? Okay. Come back tonight for that. If I scared you off, I'm sorry. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. This is an important message. I say this is an important message because guess what? By the end of this sermon, you're going to find out whether you're going to heaven or whether you're going to hell. And there is no in-between. There are no gray areas with Jesus. I want you to notice when you're in Matthew 25, 31, you're going to be baptized in red letters. This is not a message preached by some great preacher. This is not a message preached or taught or written by some great man of God like Paul or Moses or Noah or Peter or James or John. This is Jesus in his own words. And if it's Jesus in his own words, we've got to take him what he says. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. There's one thing God can't do. There's two things, but there's one thing definitely. God cannot lie. That if He can't lie, then He just told you there is a day coming when He will sit down upon the judgment seat and He will judge your life. I know it's popular in our culture to say, don't judge me. Okay, that's cool and all, but guess what? There is one who will come and is worthy to judge you, and He will judge you whether you're in the faith or you're not. That day is coming. There's a lot of important things you're going to do in your life. I guarantee you that. They're important to you, and they're important to your family, and they're probably important to the country. But there is nothing more important than understanding who Jesus Christ is and accepting Him as your Lord and Savior. If you haven't done that and you've done everything else in life, I hate to tell you this, but you are a failure. Whew. Be mad at me. Write that down and say, the preacher says I'm a failure if I'm not saved. You are, because you got through the whole lifetime and you didn't do the thing that was most required. I think the Bible says it this way. What would it profit a man to gain the whole world, yet lose his soul? Some of y'all are going to gain accolades. Some of y'all are going to get names and mentioned and titles and money and homes and families and blessings, and you're still going to not know Christ, and you're going to stand before Him and He's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you, and you will really totally understand that life was a failure at that point. He is coming back. I hate to be blunt with you. I hate to be so straightforward in 2020. I know we like obscurity. I'm not like we like all-inclusion. I know we like to think that every path is going to lead to God, but I hate to tell you that's not true. Verse 32, and before Him shall be gathered all nations. Who? All nations. So don't think you're special. It's everybody. All nations. That's why it's important we reach the whole world. And He shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. I thought that was weird until I started studying the Word and studying history. It was not a rare thing for shepherds to let goats and sheep graze together. Not a rare thing at all. I think it's weird, and we think it's weird, but we're really not shepherds, are we? It wasn't a strange thing, but right during the nighttime when they would go into sleep mode, when they'd go into the place where they needed rest, they would take the goats and separate them. See, goats have thinner hair, and they needed to huddle together for warmth. And the sheep had their own wool so they could sustain their own heat. They were covered. Think about that. Amen? But I started thinking, I know I'm very smart when it comes to this stuff right here. Just listen to me. I thought about it. What is the difference between sheep and goats? They're two totally different animals. See, I told you I was smart. They're two different creatures. Some of y'all are going, man, that guy, he's smart. But you know what the difference between a lost person and a saved person is? The same thing. They're two totally different creatures. One's been born twice. Amen? One has the Spirit of God in him and the other one does not. They're two different creatures. You cannot be saved and not have the Spirit of God residing in you. If you've never been born again, then you are not the same creature as a Christian. And one day God, just like the shepherd did at night, just like the shepherd will do at the end of time and it's drawing nigh, he will say, sheep on my right side, goats on the left side, and you're two different creatures and you get two different judgments. It's coming and it will happen. And I don't care how good you are or how bad you are. It's whether you're saved or not. Because when you're saved, you have an agent on the inside. And he does all the work on the inside. You say, how do you know? Because I received him. And every time I do right, God is pleased. And every time I do wrong, he is not, and he lets me know. Quickly and often. Amen? Quickly and often. Verse 3, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. I started thinking about these two piles. Two piles of goats and two piles, or a pile of goats, pile of sheep. I started thinking about them. I started thinking about what they look like. Goats look good. Not real goats, but the goats that will be separated. Worldly goats. They'll look better than the sheep. To the world, when you look at the goat, they've got, man, they look good. They look amazing sometimes. They've got position and title, fortune and fame. And sometimes if we're not careful, we can look at somebody who's a goat and try to emulate them. I have seen Christians try to pretend like a lost person because they have some kind of charisma or something about them they like, and they would pretend to be them before they would pretend to be like Christ. They look at them and go, man, I would like to be cool like them. Sometimes goats look better. They're sharp. Amen? Sometimes goats seem smart. And notice I put a word in there. Seems smart. Amen? Because they've got all the wisdom and all the learning and all the understanding. And they're always gathering information. It almost seems like they're just feasting on information. And they know, and they've got more titles and more. And there's nothing wrong with education. But sometimes you can be so smart that you become foolish. Amen? And all of a sudden, they can look smart, but they don't know God. Amen? The beginning of all, the Bible says it this way, the beginning of all wisdom is the fear of God. You can be so smart and then say, I don't even recognize God. Amen? Understand everything in the world, every mathematical equation, every scientific fact, and then not see God in it, and you would be a fool. Sometimes you feel less than when you're a Christian. You run into somebody who's smart and you think, man, they're just so smart and so intelligent, and they'll let you know it, but you don't seem like you're very smart because guess what? You're just a sheep. Woo! And then that other one, some of the goats look like they've got good positions and titles. One time, I used to do this in the scriptures a lot. I used to take all the people in the Bible who rejected God and all the people who accepted God and used to make a list, and I'd preach it out that way, and I love doing that. But you know what I noticed every single time? The people who rejected God were kings. They were queens. They were people of governors and presidents and people that were like, I was almost persuaded to come to faith. They were people who came and they were absolutely prominent and powerful and rich and famous, and they had title and position. And you know what? The whole world would look at them and say, that's a success. But then the other list over here would look like sheep. Then I started looking at it from the sheep's point of view. We always think we're not enough. No, look, no, no, stay with me. Y'all, don't check out on me this early. We got a long way to go. Sometimes sheep, we don't look the part all the time. We don't think we're enough sometimes. Can I break that down? We don't think we're good enough at all. Matter of fact, we're constantly going, God, I don't even know why you chose me. I'm not covered the way I need to be covered. I'm not good enough. That's what a sheep looks like. Wisdom, man, a sheep's always going, God, I don't know enough. Is there anybody in here born again that think you know everything you need to know about God? Guess what? I don't. The person that scares me says, man, I know it all. That scares me. I'm always going, God, I'm so dumb. Please open this up to me where I can kind of understand it. Amen? Unbraid this, like you said in James. Unbraid the wisdom where I can understand and make it slow where I can really get it. Amen? Unbraid it slow. That means like we're doing somebody's hair. Let it down real slow, Lord. Because you know who I am. I'm not smart enough. And position. Man, as Christians, I hate to tell you this, but a lot of times you're going to be overlooked, passed over, and left behind. Especially if they know you're a Christian, they're going to be like, nah, we'll promote anybody but them. We don't need anybody who's honest, who won't steal, who won't lie, who won't... Never mind, I'm sorry. I got carried away. That's the last person we need, is somebody with integrity in charge. Woo. I almost felt the Spirit of God on that right there, right? But sometimes you'll be passed over and hated on a job for doing one thing, loving people right where they're at, presenting the gospel right to people right where they're at. These two separate people, these goats and these sheep, they look massively different, don't they? There's something that separates them. Let's look a little bit further. I want to read this all together, so y'all stay with me as I read it. Verse 34. Y'all look, are y'all looking in your word? Look in your word with me. Verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That sounds pretty good, don't it? That's to the sheep. Didn't look like much. Wasn't very smart and didn't have a big position, but the whole time you did. You had an inheritance in heaven laid up for you since the foundations of the world. Verse 35. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we that thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee and a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we that there was sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, insomuch as you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Verse 41, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Listen, there are two specific things that you're going to hear in the judgment. Either enter in, my good and faithful servant, or depart from me into other torment. There is, I hate to tell you this, because we like everybody going to heaven, but I want to tell you, there are two locations for two different people. Make sure you know where you're going. These are the scariest words I've ever read in the Bible. And the king, verse 4, I'll read them again. And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Verse 41, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, those that are not saved, those that are not born again, those that God doesn't know. You might say you know God, but he does not know you. Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Whew. Listen to that. Let it sink in. For I was hungered and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you took me in, not in. Naked and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, insomuch as you did this not unto one of the least of these, you did not to me, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." I noticed some things here when I started reading, and I started noticing that neither one of them knew what they had done. The righteous didn't know that they had ministered to Christ, and the unrighteous did not know they had not ministered to Him. It speaks to eternal salvation. It speaks to the free gift of salvation. They didn't think they were working their way into heaven. They just realized, guess what? The Bible says this, examine yourself, whether you be in the faith. Listen to me, examine. That means take a look at yourself. Guess what? There's a component of Christ that comes with salvation. The character of the Holy Spirit has compassion. Amen? There's a compassionate component of Christ. If you don't have it, you don't have it. You can't make it up. I wrote some things down. I thought it was really neat. He said, I was hungered. Watch this right here. I was hungry. That's easy, right? People that are starving to death, you feed them. Amen? You have compassion. You look at them and go, man, they're starving. I need to feed them. We're going to do a food pack not long from now. Feed my starving children. I'm being honest with you. And we can get caught up in the moment while we're down there. Scooping and weighing and measuring and sealing. And man, we can get caught up in the numbers. It's fun. I love it. It's one of the greatest times you'll ever have. But guess what? One day, there's going to be a kid in some place that's going to be starving to death. They're going to open that packet. They're going to add some stuff to it. And they're going to take a bite from that food. And guess who's eating? Jesus. Jesus is going to be eating. Amen? Jesus is going to take a little bit of that food that you don't think much of, that you wouldn't eat yourself probably, but He's going to say, thank you, my good servant, for feeding me when I had nothing. And you're not going to think much about it. I just fed some little kid, and it didn't take me much. But you know what? Jesus said, I put that on your account. Let's get a little closer to home. How about Awana? I know some of you guys that work in Awana. And you get over there and you get to talking about different things and you're hanging out, and that's cool, and I love that. But guess what? There's going to be a kid who comes through there that probably don't have a meal that much or that often at home, and you're going to put something on their plate, and they're going to look up and they're going to say, thank you. But you know who said thank you? Jesus did. Because a lot of times they ain't got food at home. We like to think everybody does, but they don't always. And I started thinking about some widows. They're going to be sitting around on Christmas and on Valentine's Day, and we don't think much of it, but they're lonely. And guess what? For the first time, they're going to sit around a table with some people that feel just like them, lonely like them, sometimes confused like them. And guess what? They can laugh and smile and have a good time and feel like somebody cares. Amen? And guess what? Jesus is sitting right there in amongst them. Thank you. Right? Thank you. It's kind of neat to think of it that way, right? Well, how about if you just go pick up somebody and take them to dinner? Because guess what? They're just overwhelmed with life. You thought about it. You just took them to, they're not starving, but you know what? It's good to take somebody who's overwhelmed. Maybe it's a leader who's overwhelmed. Amen? Maybe it's somebody, man, that you just took them and said, hey, I was thinking about you. I want to give you something to eat. What if you go by somebody's house and say, hey, I'll take your kids and go get ice cream? Golly, you don't think a mom and daddy might take a nap? You don't think they would just sit down on their couch and say, man, thank God. Thank God. Maybe you've raised your kids. Maybe you forgot what it's like to be in the wrestling match. Why don't you just go in and tag somebody out and say, give me a round. You ain't got to stay forever. Just give me an hour. When them little knothead kids are running and throwing and getting on your nerves, you go, why did I come down here? Why did I do this? Jesus said, thank you. That was me. That was me you were ministering to. We don't think of it that way, do we? I was thirsty. Of course, if somebody's needing water, we go to the third world country, build a well, help somebody go get the water, give them a bottle of water. But how about after a storm? How about after a storm? How about they're sitting down there and they got, man, their whole life's gone. Their houses are leveled. You know what? It ain't about the water. There's going to be more bottled water. But maybe it's when somebody walks up and says, hey, there's hope. Amen? Maybe it's your neighbor who's working out in their yard and they're sweating and they think, man, nobody cares anymore. What if you just walked over there with just some water? Maybe your husband or your wife is working in the house and you just get them a cool drink of water. Just walk up and say, hey, I was thinking about you. I love you. Thank you for mowing that yard. Thank you for cleaning the house. Amen? And sometimes it's just asking somebody, hey, you want to ride down to the coffee shop? And let's just talk about it. Talk about what? Whatever you need to talk about. Amen? I've got ears. I've got two ears to listen with. Can we sit down and talk about it? I was a stranger. Now, God spoke to me when I was getting this ready. So listen to me. This is not supposed to go over your head. It's supposed to hit you right in the heart. Strangers. Entertain strangers. Listen, there's going to be a lot of people who come to this church. Your job is to welcome them. That's simple, right? All you got to do is welcome them. We ain't got to be best friends. We ain't got to hang out. We ain't got to run around and talk about, you might like this and I might like that, but guess what? You should want to love people. It's hard. It's hard to love people that you don't know. It's hard to get out of your comfort zone and reach across to somebody and say, I'm so glad that you chose our church, our ministry, over all the churches and ministries. Thank you for being here. It means a lot. We need the help here. Thank you for showing up. We might not do the same things. We might not agree on the same things. We might not. You might like hiking and I might like four-wheeling. I might like basketball and you might not like it at all. Amen? But can we agree that we both love Jesus? And can we find a way to reach the world for the lost? And this is where God spoke to me the most. And I want y'all to hear this. And this ain't a dig on our young people. But I was thinking, what's it like when a youth comes to our church? What's it like? Does our youth welcome new kids? Different kids? Strange kids? Who come in, you know what, they're not the same kids we always know and run around with and have relationships with. But God spoke to me and said this exact word. He said, if the church youth won't accept kids, how in the world will they be accepted anywhere else? And you say, well, that kid's not like my other friends, and he doesn't say this, and they don't do that, and she don't do this, and she don't do that. But yeah, but you know what? Jesus said, as much as you have done it unto them, you've done it unto me. Sometimes Jesus needs to be included into a group that don't seem like he's welcome. I know that was hard, but you know what? We got to do better. Adults, we got to do better. I really don't like him. I really don't like her. I don't think they would be a good fit in our church. I don't think they would be a good fit in our ministry. I don't think that would be a cool person I want to hang out with. I don't think we should go eat with him. That's exactly the people we need to reach across and say, hey, do you have anywhere to go eat today? Because I would love for you to go eat with me and my family. It's awful quiet in here. Naked and you clothed me. And I think about this all the time. Christians are good about helping people with clothes as long as it comes from the back of the closet. Amen? We go back and we find the thing that I haven't wore that thing in a while. We're proud. We hold that thing high. That brown suit, you know what I mean? The one that don't fit. The shirt that you got for Christmas that you didn't like. And we take it and we go like this. How about going and buying something new? Amen? How about going and getting something that you love and giving it away? How about clothing somebody in something that you would wear? Shoes that you would wear? Shirts that you would wear? Hats that you would wear? It's so quiet in here. I must be in the wrong place this morning. Sick. Yeah, we're going to go to the hospitals. We're going to go to the nursing homes. We're going to go and see people that are sick. But how about the self-inflicted sick? How about the drug addicted? How about the person who got in trouble and they're sin sick? Will you still visit them? Will you sit down with them? Will you talk with them? It says visit them. Will you sit down with them and say, listen, I want to sit with you where you're at, where one day we both can get up. Because there are some broken, sick people who need you to sit down with them and let them know that both of you can get up together. There are some people right now that are strung out in drug addiction. There are some people that have done so many things wrong, and they think, there's no hope for me. And you know what? We look at them and we go, well, they're not sick of pneumonia. They ain't got the flu. They ain't got nothing physical. But guess what? They're sick the same. And the remedy is still Christ Jesus, right? There are some people that are mentally sick. They've got anxiety and fear and depression. And they need you just as bad as the person who's got that real bad cough and is at the hospital. They need somebody to sit down beside them and say, there's hope. There's hope. There's hope in divorce. There's hope in loss. There's hope. God will come to the rescue. You got to trust in Him. Seek the Lord even now. Oh, never mind. I started thinking about the prisons. We're going to go to the incarcerated. We love to go. Them people behind bars, we want to see them. But how about the person that's in the prison of abuse? The one that's going through a marriage that feels like they're in prison. And you're the only person that can go and talk to them and be a vent, a place where they can say, I'm hurting. Amen? Are you going to visit that prison? Are you going to walk in those doors? Are you going to walk in those bars? Are you going to walk and sit down and say, hey man, talk to me. I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to think this about you. I'm going to listen to you and I'm going to help you break open the doors of your prison. Because that's what Christ does. How about the child or the kids that are going through abuse? Listen, we all think, man, when we go home at night, it's all the same. It's not. There are some people that go home and their world is a mess. Mom and dad hate each other. Family hate each other. It's a war, cuss fights, words being thrown around, abuse going on. And you know what? The only refuge they have is us. When will we visit them? When will you look around and say, you know what? I see what you're going through. Can I help you? Church is the greatest place in the world to hide out and look like everything's okay. But Jesus said, as much as you have done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. So every time you sit down with a broken person, every time you feed somebody, clothe somebody, give somebody a drink, and if you're doing it in the ministry, guess what? You're doing it to Christ. And you don't even realize it. Most of the time you're like, man, I ain't doing nothing. I need to do more. I have failed at being a Christian. And you know what? There's going to be a line in heaven who will say, I'm here because somebody came to the rescue. And it was as simple as clothes, food, water. It was as simple as just showing up. And some of y'all are saying, why are you preaching this to us? Because I want to know if I'm in a church that's looking to do what God's put on our hearts to do. Are we just coming here to get fed and feed and feed and never do? Or are we going to be somebody who says, God, feed me where I can reach somebody else? Because that's the component that's missing. That's the component that's missing. You can know Christ. Amen. You can know who He is and He not know you. And the key to it is when did we see you hungry? When did we see you thirsty? When did we see you naked? When did we see you in prison? If you can't see it, you need to worry. If you can't see the need to help other people, you might want to seek and see if you got what you got. Because there is a compassion factor with Christ. Listen, I call it, I can't help it. Amen? When you see somebody, you can't help it. You see that person, you can't help it. I've got to give them something to drink. I've got to feed them. I've got to clothe them. I can't help myself. That's the Holy Spirit of God. If you walk by people and say, man, they need to do better. I don't need to wear, I'm so, hey, they need to get to where I'm at in church. They need to get where I'm at in ministry. You've missed it. The Bible says we are supposed to be the hands and feet of Christ. He is the head, and we are the body. Sometimes I wonder if the church needs a whole lot more handicap spots than it has already. A body that doesn't do anything is a useless body. What we need to do is ask God to lead us spiritually. Amen? We're all, listen, let's all stand. Scott, come get a song. At the end of this life, every man, woman, and child are going to stand before God. Did you know that? Everybody in this room is going to stand before God. And you're going to give an account for your life. Every one of us. Every one of us. And you're only going to hear two things. Enter in, my good and faithful servant, or depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Today I gave you a good examination. A good place to do some calculations, whether you're in. To examine yourself, whether you're in the faith or not. Here they are. Do I care about other people and where they're at? Do I want to reach the most broken of broken people? If you do, you have the compassion of Christ in you, and it's very recognizable. Or, it's all about me. It's all about what I can get and what I can do, and it's all about me. That's a different kind of spirit. One's a spirit of a sheep, and one's a spirit of a goat. We're all going to stand there one day. Examine yourself right now and say, you know what, if I stood before God, is He going to know me? Do I even know who I am in Christ Jesus? As they sing a song.